Right. We're holding the last line of Chavzayin Amud Beis. The Mishnah said, "V'lo shel noshim la'olam b'pnei hakavod," that you never put a woman's mitzah, the bier of a woman who passed away, in the street. You said you don't put a man's down in the street during Chol HaMoed because you don't want to make a spadim, because unless he's a Talmud Chacham, you have no business making a spadim in Chol HaMoed. We say you should never put a woman's down. Now, why is that? Amrina Hadoi. Lo yishanu elo chaya. This is only talking about that you're not allowed to put a woman's coffin down in the street to make a spadim, is if she died in childbirth. Because then she's going to be bleeding a lot. So then it would be a gnai. It would be very, very...
It was not a need.
No. Chaya means, no, specifically means a woman who... Yeah. So because then there's a lot of blood, then it would be a real gnai for her. But if it's any other woman, sure, you can put it down. There's no problem. Rabbi Loza Omer, no. This applies to all women, whether childbirth or not. Because the pasuk says, "Vatamas shom Miriam atikaver shom." The pasuk says Miriam died there and she was buried there, which means samachul misa kvura. Shortly after, as soon as possible after she died, was the burial. They didn't delay it. So therefore, we see that, and she didn't die in childbirth. She was 120 odd years old. But nevertheless, we see that you don't delay her funeral for any reason. Why is that? Some of Farshim say because for with any woman there is still the possibility of bleeding.
120 years old.
Maybe, okay, you're not going to be machalic on her age. You know, what are you going to find out, whether she was menopausal or not? And, you know, so there is always that possibility. Yeah. There is always that possibility. Other Mefarshim say that the reason is because it's not really the covered dick that a woman is dressed only in tachrichim and is lying there in the street in front of a bunch of men. V'amar Rav Elazar, ask Miriam bin Shikamesa. Speaking of Miriam, by the way, and speaking of the pasuk Vatamas Shom Miriam, also Miriam died with a mitzvah neshika. The Gemara explains in Rav Kama that there were certain exceptional tzaddikim, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Moshe, and Aaron, and I forget who else, who normally, as we're going to have later on the Amud, and we're going to have a little more, and we're going to have tomorrow as well, that for most people, Misa is a very difficult thing. For the neshama to leave the body, for most people, is a very hard thing. The Gemara is going to say tomorrow that for some people, it's like trying to drag a thick rope through a narrow hole. For greater tzaddikim, it's like a lesser thing. It's like maybe the pinprick from when you have blood left or whatever. We'll see later on the Amud. But for Misas Neshika is kavyachol that the Eivisha gives the person a kiss. The Eivisha gives the neshama a kiss, and then the neshama flies off to rejoin the Eivisha. And in terms of chassidus, we would call it kiruv amorer la nitzutz, like the mor, the luminary, which is the Eivisha, comes close to the nitzutz, which is the spark or the tchelik of the kamimal, and so it immediately flies off to join. That's Mrs. Neshika.
In other words, it's not the father hamadik.
Right.
It's Hashem himself.
Right. So now. It says by Moshe and Aaron, we learn it that this happened with them, because the pasuk says that both of them died al pi Hashem. Al pi Hashem doesn't just mean by the instructions of Hashem; it means literally by the mouth of Hashem. So now we're saying Miriam also; she also had Mrs. Neshika. Why? Asya shom shom mi Moshe, because we make a gzeira shava of the word shom from Moshe. By Moshe it says vayamos shom Moshe, and by Miriam we just said it's vayamos shom Miriam. So we see that she also had Mrs. Neshika. She did. She had her tzaraf. I mean, other than that, she's a perfect tzaddikus. And that wasn't even. I mean, it was on her level. It was an aveda. But I mean, you know, it was based on a misunderstanding of what Moshe is. Whatever. Oh, I mean, for if you're going to go like that, I mean, Moshe and Aaron also made mistakes, right? Made Meriva and Mechata Egel, So why does it not explicitly say Al Pi Hashem by Miriam? Because it's not a respectful thing to say. We think of the Eivishter in masculine terms. It's not really the cover dick to talk about then the Eivishter giving a kiss to Miriam. But nevertheless, kachava. Famous thing, Omer Avami, Loma Nismach Mrs. Miriam Lapashas Paradruma. Why is the death of Miriam put together with the Paradruma? They come right after each other in Parshas Chukas. And they were actually at many years apart. The mitzvah Parah Adruma was given at the beginning of the second year in the desert. Chodesh Nissan, they gave Moshe the mitzvah, and Beis Nissan, they made the first Parah Adruma. Miriam passed away Yud Nissan 39 years later, 38 years later, whatever. So why are they put together? Loimalach, to tell you, Ma Parah Adruma Machaperes, Af Misas and Shal Tzadikim Machaperes. Just like a Parah Adruma makes a Kapara, so does the death of Tzadikim. What do we mean that it makes a kapara? The Parah Aduma, Tosfos points out, is a kapara for the Chet HaEgel, the famous thing that Rashi says at the beginning of Parshas Chukas, that the mother should come and clean up the filth of the child. That the Parah Aduma is a kapara for the HaEgel. The mother, which is the Parah, which is the mother, which is the mother, a more mature animal, is Mechapra for the HaEgel, for the calf. We know the famous thing the Alter Rebbe writes in Igeres HaKodesh Chof Ches, the deeper idea of this Lomanis Mechah Parshas Miriam Parshas Parah, that the Parah Aduma is different than all other Korbanos Avodah inside the Beis Mikdash and the Mechapra for individual Avodas and the only Mechapra for things B'Shogeg. The Parah Aduma is Chutz L'Shalosh Machnas, it's Bechlal done outside of Yerushalayim. No, actually what it does is it has the unique thing of being able to deal with death. And it's not even a question of shogeg versus mezid. It's the Parah Aduma is mechaper for tumas mes, no matter how you became tameh. Therefore, it shows that it comes from a higher level. And Alter Rebbe explains over there that Parah Aduma really comes from the highest levels of Ratan Elyon, and so also Mrs. Tzadikim is related to that as well. And therefore they're mechaper in the same way. Amar Abba Elazar, a similar thing. Lama nitzchah mitzvah Aaron the bigdei kavuna. Why is the death of Aaron put together with the bigdei kavuna? Meaning that so there's a couple of different explanations what this means. Most of the Beforeshim say it refers to the fact that when the Eibishter tells Moshe to take Aaron and Elazar up to Hor HaHor, that Aaron's going to die there. It says there Moshe should take off Aaron's bigdei kavuna and dress Elazar in them, and then Aaron died. So we see the bigdei kavuna feature in the story, like, and they're mentioned there right next to his death. That's the question of the Gemara. What's the connection between them? Rashi Xaviad, I think it is, says that maybe some people wanted to say it's the fact that you have the Torah talks about the big dick kahuna, and then shortly after that it talks about Nodav and Aviu. But Rashi says, come on, I mean, those are several power years apart. That's not what we're talking about. But anyway, my big dick kahuna machaper, not misas and shaltadik machaper. Same idea. Just like the big dick kahuna are machaper, we learned briefly in Yoma, the Gemara discusses more in Zvachim, how each one of the eight big dick kahuna is machaper for an individual avera that people do. So also, misas tadikim is machaper. Mefarshim say the reason why we need two things, Parah Aduma and this. Parah Aduma is a more generic thing. The big dick kahuna are for specific averas. And then, so therefore we're saying, Mr. Tzadikim gives a general, brings down a general kapara to the world, and then specifically, he's giving a for specific problems of the tzibur as well. Turn on our bottom, we learn in a braisa, mes pisaim, if somebody dies suddenly, zui misa chatufa, then this is it's called a sudden death, which means, as we're going to have soon, it might be a form of kares. Here the Gemara is going to be discussing the concept of Kares and Mrs. Vesting. The usual definition of Kares that we're more familiar with, which the Gemara is going to talk about soon, is that a person dies before reaching age 60, or I think the Rashami says 50. But here we're going to start talking about, there's a different kind of Kares, which is called Kares de Yoimi, where a person dies fairly suddenly, without a chance to get their affairs in order, Not necessarily young. No, there's two different things. That's what we're saying. There can be a person can be dying below age 60, without it being suddenly, or it can be suddenly above age 60. Although the Gemara will say later what the cutoff date is for that. So if a person dies suddenly, then that's called misa chatufa. It's a sudden death. And it may indicate that he got caught. It's obviously not necessarily. There are many people who. Can you guys have your conversation elsewhere? We're trying to learn here. Cholo yemechad meis, if a person is sick for one day and then he dies, do we miss it chufa? Then it's a pushed punishment. It's also a little less than chatova. It's not quite so sudden, but still, it's like the Eibishter pushed that should happen as soon as possible. Rav Hanani ben Gamliel says, do we miss it magefa? Rav Hanani ben Gamliel says actually a little differently. That dying after one day is called a death by plague. Shenem, like it says in the pasuk, we've been talking throughout this parak about Yechezkel's wife, how she passed away, and Yechezkel wasn't supposed to do avelus for her. The pasuk here's where the pasuk introduces it. Ben Adam, the Eibishter tells him, son of man, which is the Eibishter's usual term for Yechezkel throughout his book. Hinin lekeach b'mchas machmad enecha b'magefa. I'm going to take away from you the beloved one of your eyes in a plague, meaning your wife. By the way, when we see this pasuk tells us something, you know, we had throughout the whole sugya earlier in the parak about how Yechez, you know, the Eibishter tells Yechez, your wife's going to die, you shouldn't do regular avelus for her. you know, you might have thought, okay, so maybe he wasn't getting along so well with his wife. Maybe it's not such a big thing. No, we see the pasuk calls her Machmer Enecha. She's the dearest one to him there is. And you can imagine what a nesoyan it was for him to Yechezkel. You can imagine what a nesoyan it was to him to not even be able to do normal avelis for her.
Why? Suspicion
that he didn't like. No, I'm saying if you didn't have these words, Machmer Enecha, you wouldn't know. You could have argued, okay, maybe it wasn't such a big thing, you know. Maybe she's telling him not to do avelis for her, okay, maybe big deal. But the pasuk actually calls her, and as far as I know, this is the only place in Tanakh where it actually uses such an expression for a person's wife, Machmer Enecha, the delight of your eyes, and it tells you something. Also true, yeah. A person could have many wives in those days also, yeah. So here, yeah. Anyway. Uchtiv. And then the pasuk continues. Va'adaber la'am ba'boker. I spoke to the people. The Eibishter told Yechezkel all this because he's telling him, I want you to use this as a simon to the people. So I spoke to the people in the morning. He says, but Thomas ishti ba'erev, and my wife died in the evening. So we see that's already considered the next day la'alacha. And we see the pasuk calls it ba'magefa. So we see that dying after 1 day sickness is called magefa. Next, shnei yomim. If somebody is sick for 2 days and then dies, zui mitzvah d'chulya. This is a pushed off death. Again, it's like a little less than d'chufa, but it's still, you know, it's still not the normal kind of thing. It still shows there was a problem. Gimel ga'ara. If a person dies after 3 days sickness, it means the Eibishter is angry at him. Ga'ara means like literally yelling. Arba nezifa. 4, it represents nezifa that the Eibishter like puts him in a certain degree of cheirim. Chamisha zui misses kaladam. 5 days sickness before a person dies, that's a normal kind of death. Because then you have 5 days, you have time to settle your affairs and everything. Amar Rav Chanan, Maikra, where the pasuk that we see that 5 is the normal amount. The Eibishter tells Moshe, Hein korvu yamecha lamus, behold, your days to die are coming near. Which, Hein chad, the word Hein represents 1. Korvu, as we'll say in a minute, korvu trei, they approach means 2, because Lashon Rabim, which means 2. Yamecha also means today. Hal Chamisha. There you have 5. How does Hain mean 1? How does Hain mean Chad? Shekhen Beloshon. Yivani Kernel Achat Hain, because the Greek word for 1 is Hain. So we doubt in the pasuk Hain meaning 1, Korvu, and Yamecha. So there you have 5. Now, I mean, Mepharshim asks, Moshe wasn't sick for 5 days before he died. The Torah says at the end of his Zayt HaBracha. So some Mepharshim say, right, we don't mean that actually Moshe himself was sick for 5 days, but the Eibishter uses him as an example. Like, he tells him these words to explain to everybody else what would be the normal situation.
5 days before.
Some Mepharshim actually say, I think the Ritva says, that actually the Eibishter did. This that the Eibishter is telling him, Hein Korvu Yamecha Lamus, is 5 days before he dies. He's not sick during those 5 days, but nevertheless, he has those 5 days to prepare himself. Continues the price. The mes chamishim shana. If somebody dies 50 years old, zui misas karis, and this means that this is a death of karis. Again, not necessarily that everybody who dies at 50 gets karis, but at least there's the possibility that it was. Chamishim ushtayim shana. On the other hand, if a person dies age 52, zui misas al shmur haramasi. Then this is a death like Shmuel haramasi from Ramah. We learned at Tainus that he lived to be only 52. We learned there why he lived such a short life, because Eibishter had to, it's time for Shaul to go and David to take over, and Shmuel's course is protecting Shaul. So therefore he passed away at 52. How we know 52, by the way, Rashi Ksaviad explains, Rashi also explains it on the pasuk there in Shmuel. Chana says that when she after she has Shmuel, she doesn't go up that year to Shiloh with her family. She says to Eli, to Elkanah, her husband, I need to stay home and nurse him. When I wean him at 2 years old, which was the normal age for weaning in those days, I'll bring him to the Beis HaMikdash, v'yoshav sham ad olam, and he'll dwell there forever. Ad olam means 50 years, like v'avadu l'olam, by an eved ivri. So therefore we see he was brought to the Mishkan when he was 2. He lived there for 50 years, so he lived to be 52. Yeah, as a matter of fact, actually, she was one of the 7 Nevi'ahs we learned in Megillah, right? So, yeah. Mind you, the Abarbanel on the Pesukim wants to say that according to the simple pshat of the Pesukim, not necessarily, that Shmuel may well have lived to be 70 or 80 years old. The Pesuk says, Vayiki Zokit Shmuel, he takes it at face value that he was actually old, not like we learned in Tainus that he just looked old. But okay, you know. Anyway. Yeah. Next. Shishim Zuri Misibide Shemayim. Person dies age 60, this is Misibide Shemayim. Amamazotra Micro, where the Pasuk that we see that 60 is no longer Kores, but it is Misibidishmaim, the Stiv, Tobe Bekelach Eli Kever. The Pasuk says, you'll come Bekelach into the grave. This is a part of a Pasuk where one of Eev's friends tells him how a person lives a good life. Bekelach, Begematria Shittin, however, the word Bekelach equals 60. So what does that mean if we're saying we just said that 60 is Misibidishmaim? It sounds like it's not the right thing. So some of the Poroshim say, right, that there's some Rishonim have a Gilsa instead of Misibidei Shemayim doing Misav Kol Adam, this is the normal death. Other Poroshim say, okay, you know, maybe Misibidei Shemayim over here just means a Misa that happens through the Eivishter, in other words, as opposed to a person dying of a violent death or whatever. It means effectively the same thing as a Misav Kol Adam. So we're going to say soon that actually what the Braisa means to say is if a person dies anywhere between 50 and 60, it could be Kares. We didn't want to say that explicitly because that would imply that Shmuel had Kares, and we don't want to imply that. We'll get to that in a minute, yeah. Continues the Braisa. Shivim Seva, a person lives to 70, then that's old age. Shmonim Gmuras, a person lives to 80, that means he has extra strength. Dichtiv, Yemeshne Sen Behem Shim Shana, are the days of the years of our lives are normally 70 years. We invigvuras, and with extra strength, Shmonim Shana, 80 years. We say it's in Tehillim. We say it every morning, Shabbos morning, davening. Yeah. Omer Rabba, Mechamishim v'ad Shishim Shana Zui Mitzvah Kares. Actually, anywhere from 50 to 60 is Kares. The Braisa just said that 50 is Kares, and then it left from 50 to 60 unsaid. But really, any time between 50 and 60 could be a death of Kares. So why aren't we actually saying so? Because of the covet of Shmuel, we don't want to imply that he got Kares. He died at 52 for an unrelated reason, as we learned in Tainus. So therefore, what does the Braisa do? It says 50 is Kares, 52 is Shmuel Haramasi, as if to imply really everybody between 50 and 60 might be Kares. But you should know, it's not a blanket statement because you have the example of Shmuel to contradict that. That's what we said, because he was 2 and then 50. The truth, actually, Marsha gives a long calculation that I'm not quite sure I followed. Well, first of all, Tosfos says over here, where b'chalal do we see that 50 is Kares? The Tosfos quotes from Yerushalmi that the Levim served until 50. And the Pasuk talks about make sure that the Levim don't get Kares by making sure you wrap up the Kalim or the Bais Mikdash before they get to them. So therefore we see that that Kares could be 50. Tosfos says, how does that fit? I mean, you don't start working in the Bais Mikdash and in the Mishkan until you're 30, and b'chlal until 20 you're not chayav Kares. So Tosfos doesn't like that. Marshall has a whole long calculation where he says it still could work out. It means the average person lives till 70, so the average person has 50 full years after 20 when they reach the age when they could be subject to Kares. Shmuel went through, he calculates somehow over there, I don't remember the details, that Shmuel lived through two-thirds of his life past 20, he lived 32 years past 20, and then we see that he was still a tzaddik, so we know he would have been the rest of his life a tzaddik even if he had lived to a much older age. Whereas a person who gets Kares, like, you know, they reach 50 already, we see, like, you know, they're not living the way they should, so already the Eivishter takes them away when they've reached only a little over half of what they would normally have reached, the half of that 50 years. Something like that. I don't remember the exact calculation, but it was something like that. In Tanya, the Alter Rebbe explains, in the Geras HaTshuvah, the reason, the idea behind it, why taka would a person who gets Kares die before age 50 or 60? Because Kares means that their neshama is cut off from its chayus in Kedusha. So in those days, when a person actually lived exclusively off Kedusha, a person who got Kares, okay, they could live off the Rishimu, they could live off the residue of chayus for a while, but eventually, after 50 or 60, it's gone. There's nothing of it left. As opposed to Bizman HaGolus, that doesn't necessarily happen because Bizman HaGolus, we don't get our chayus only from Kedusha, we get it also from the Klippus, and then because of that, a person can be chayav Kares and yet live to a ripe old age. But the Gemara here is talking about how things should be. Bizman Gemara tells Rabbi Yosef ki have a bar shittin. When Rabbi Yosef turned 60 years old, Obed lahu yom tovel at Rabbanan. He made a yom tov. He made a party for the Rabbanan. Omer, because he said nafki lemi kares. I'm now exempt from kares. I reached 60, so obviously I'm not chayav kares anymore. Omer le Abaye and he did not proclaim I'm a kares to Shani. Very well, you Rebbe, you've gotten you beat kares of years because you've reached 60. Mikaris Yomi Minafik Ma, but you haven't beaten Karis Yomi. There still is a possibility you can have the one or two or whatever days that we were immediately or whatever that we said before, and that's Karis Yomi, that's the person's individual days get cut off. Amalei, so Rabbi Yosef says, you know what, you're right, but at least you can grab half in your hand, meaning at least I'm halfway there. There's a sicha in Chelek Hei that the Rebbe actually said on his own 60th birthday, Yud Aleph Nissen Chavdeis. I believe this is the first time the Rebbe ever publicly fabrenged on Yud Aleph Nissen, but the Rebbe analyzed this Gemara. Like, first of all, many questions, among others, why specifically Rabbi Yosef? There are many Tanoim and Amiroim who reached age 60. We don't find them making such a party. We don't find anything in Halacha that a person should make such a party when they reach 60. And a footnote he mentions over there from the Trumas Hadeshin that he made a party when he was 60, but he combined it with a Siyum on a Masechta. Not just the time of a 60th birthday party. And so what's the business of Karis the Shani, Karis the Yomi? Why half? The gist of it is that Rebbe explains, like we said from Tanya, most people, Bizman HaGolus, don't live exclusively off Kedusha. They live off L'Umaseh also. So therefore, when a person reaches 60, it's no raya that they're potter from Karis. Maybe they're chayav Karis, but they're not living. They're Kedusha, the Kedusha aspect of their chayav is gone, but they still have the klipa aspect of it. Rabbi Yosef was on a level where he b'chalal had nothing to do with that. He lived exclusively off Kedusha. The Rebbe quotes over there actually from Rishonim. We say always throughout Shas that Rabbi Yosef was blind. The Rebbe quotes there from Rishonim that Rabbi Yosef wasn't. How did Rabbi Yosef become blind? He didn't want to have to look at anything outside of his own baladamas. So basically, he trained himself not to see. So he's one of these people who lives completely off Kedusha. When he reaches 60, he knows that he's done with the Karis part. So Abaya tells him, but after all, I mean, Al-Tamun ba'asmachad yom moscha, how do you know that, you know, chas v'shalom, you might fall off your madrega? So he says, you're right, but after all, at least I'm halfway there. The fact that I reached 60 and I didn't have Karis to shani shows that at least I'm halfway there to what I'm supposed to be accomplishing in the world and staying on the right path. Kurdish Yomi means that, like we said before, that a person would die suddenly without having a chance to set their affairs in order and make a will and so forth. Gemara says, Rav Huna noch nafshei pista. Rav Huna died all of a sudden. Habakkuk died Yerabanan, so the Rabbanan were very worried. We just said that could be Kurdish Yomi. However, Tunnel who Zugamat to Mahadayev, a pair of Tamil Chachamim from Hadayev, is the name of a place, taught them the following Braisa, or on the side here it brings the Girsa from the Aruch, not Zuga, but Zuza, which was the name of, according to that, is the name of a Tamil Chacham from Hadayev. He taught them, Loishanu Elashalei Gilagurus. This that we're talking about, that a person dies suddenly, could be Kareth, Misa Chatufa, Misa Tchufa, etc., is only if the person did not reach 80 years old. Gurus, we just said, is 80. But if a person reached 80 and then died all of a sudden, don't worry about it. Then add that, but it shows that they got a kiss from the Eibishter, like we said before about Miriam. No, the pasha doesn't mean that he dies peacefully on his bed. I mean, we're not talking about, for example, if he got run over by a car or something, you know. Maybe.
Maybe.
That's, well, when we said before that 80 is Gvuris, some of us should say similarly, something along those lines, that biologically a person should not be able to reach 80. If a person is reaching 80, it means there's extra Gvura given to them by the Eishter.
What happens in the Tillim when you say, at the end of the Tillim, you say, I should
reach. So actually, I believe I've seen in some Tillim that I think the Chofetz Chaim said, in fact, you should not say Pem Shivim Shana for that reason. Why are you limiting yourself to 7 years? The Pashtus, you know.
No,
on Shabbos you don't say that, you're often anyway.
No, but you can say it.
Of course you can say it in Tillim, yeah. So you can always tell them it's Tillim. I mean, still talking about the average. I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it, he looked 120. Famous thing, Amar Rava, Chaye Bonei Umezoni, life and children and sustenance, Parnasa, Loibus Chus Italia Milsa, Elba Mazel Italia Milsa. They do not depend on a person's chus, they depend on a person's mazel. Now, what do we mean by that? Mephoshim, of course, have a field day with this. I mean, Bechal, first of all, what do you mean? I mean, the Torah says in many places, you know, that you do the right thing. Now, I'll bench you with long life, and I'll bench you with you know, Gshom and Be'itam, and so forth. Second of all, we learned in Shabbos, Ein Mazel Yisrael. So what's going on over here? So there are some Rishonim who say that, in fact, this Gemara argues with that Gemara and Shabbos. We had a whole machlokes over there where the Yesh Mazal Yisrael, the Ein Mazal Yisrael. This Gemara over here would hold that Yesh Mazal Yisrael, that Rava would be holding that Yesh Mazal Yisrael. Other Mephoshim talk about the idea that even it doesn't have to disagree. A person does have a mazel, but we're talking about to what extent you can change it with tefillah. It doesn't depend primarily on a person's chus. It depends on the mazel that the Eved set up for him originally. But a person is able to change it with a tremendous amount of tefillah and chusim. We're talking about the average chusim, like don't control it. And then there's the explanation that Chassidus gives, which is that the mazel we're talking about over here, we don't mean like the stars and planets and whatnot. We mean the shodesh of the person's neshama. And we mean actually mazel, and it's not actually different. There's two different things that it says in Chassidus. The mazel means the shodesh of the person's neshama, but there's also an idea that it talks about in many places in Chassidus, in Maimarim of the, in Biurei Azur from the Mitzvah Rebbe, and many other, and in Maim Rabim from the Rebbe Marash, and in many other places that mazel over here is the Ratzon Elyon, which is higher than all the spheres and everything. So it's beyond the person's chosim because, you know, a person's chosim, you know, the Eivishter with Nimna Kol and Nimna is not really affected by our chosim, Imchapal Samatifa, by etc. This all comes from Ratzon Elyon, which is far beyond that. So yes, with tremendous chosim, with unusual chosim and tefillahs and all, a person can still affect that. So just as, you know, we know we can affect the Eivishter's Ratzon with tefillah. But ordinarily, it's totally in the Ratzon, which is we see it as mazel, we see it as random because we don't understand how it works, as opposed to based on a person's choice, as opposed to the based on a person's more obvious thing, basically.
What's the difference, really, other than semantics, between Ratzon and mazel?
Well, mazel means
the world. But
yeah, that's what we're saying, but it's something beyond the world. It's something. Let me say to Ishtalshus even.
But it's like something that's predestined in a way.
It is predestined, right. Of course it's predestined in a way, but we're talking about, in other words, it's predestined by something that's beyond the world. Now you can't even, it's at a level where you can't even talk about pre or post. To the Eivishter, you know, the past, present, and future, are all the same thing. Yeah. How do we know this? He says, "Dehar Rabba v'Rav Chista Tavay Rabban and Tzaddikim." But we see that Rabba and Rav Chista were both great tzaddikim, and we see how great tzaddikim they were. Ma Matzli v'Asi Mitra. One of them could daven and rain would come right away. Ma Matzli v'Asi Mitra, and the other one could also daven and rain would right away come, which shows, as we learned in Tainus, that they have tremendous chosim. Nevertheless, let's consider the differences between them. Rav Chista Chaya Tishin v'Tartin Shnin. Rav Chista lived to be 92. Rabba Chaya Aboyin. Rabba lived to be only 40 years old. We learned in Rosh Hashanah maybe there's a possibility maybe 60 instead, but still a lot less. Bei Rav Chista Shitin Hiluli. In Rav Chista's household throughout his life there were 60 celebrations, the weddings and brisin and whatnot for his children and grandchildren.
Both
and
the same school,
they both were great tzaddikim, and yet look at the difference in how they lived. Yeah. Not only in age, but in other things also. In Rav Chista's house, we're saying throughout his life there were 60 celebrations. Tosfos says maybe Lav Davka. We find throughout Shas that a lot of times 60 is used as like an indefinitely large number. There were a lot of simchas always. And he had a big family, and there were the children, grandchildren, great grandchildren, whatever. So there were lots of simchas going on. Bei Rabba Shitin Tichli, whereas in Rabba's house in his lifetime there were 60 bereavements, 60 times when they had to mourn somebody. Yeah. Bei Rav Chista smidol kalbi v'loy mitbi. In Rav Chista's house, they were so rich that they could feed fine flour to the dogs, and it still wasn't needed. They had even better stuff. Bei Rabba, whereas in Rabba's house, he was so poor. Nama desari l'inshi. They had to give barley bread for the people, even though barley is normally fed to animals. V'loy mishtakach, and you couldn't even find that. There wasn't even enough of that. So you see the dramatic difference between Rabba and Rav Chista, even though they were great tzaddikim. So this goes to show. So we see examples in Bani, in Chaya, and in Mizaini. Rav Chista has lots of children and grandchildren and whatnot, so there's all the simchas. Rabba has the opposite. Rav Chista has Chaya, he lives to 92. Rabba lives less than half of that, or 40, or 60, whatever. And Mizaini, that's Rabba and Rav Chista is really, really rich, and Rabba is really, really poor. So we see that these three things depend on mazel. V'amar Rava, Hani Tzlas Mili Ba'oi Kamishmaya. I davened for the following three things by the Eivishter. Tauti Yavoli, two of the things I asked for the Eivishter gave me. Chod Aloy Yavoli, but the other one they didn't. What did I ask for? I asked for Chuchma Seder Rav Huna. I asked for the Chachma of Rav Huna, which means, Rashi Ksaviyad says, we don't just mean his Chachma, there were many Talmud Chachamim who were wise. We mean his ability to be Marvitz Torah. We learned the other day that Rav Huna had a tremendous number of Talmudim. We said the other day that we've quoted from Ksubas that had 1,200 full-time Talmudim and many, many part-time ones, the dust cloud that would come up when everybody got up. So Rava asked for that kind of thing, that he should have the ability to spread Torah like that. And I asked for wealth like Rav Chisda, and that was given to me min hashamayim. On the other hand, in Vesnusei de Rav Baravuna, I also asked for the ability to be an onav like Rav Baravuna, lo yavoli, and that they did not give me. Well, so Marsha says, I mean, obviously you don't get it for free. Rav knew you don't get it for free. He's asking the Eberstah, he's asking the Eberstah for help in reaching this, and that he didn't get. Which he didn't, because he felt he didn't reach that level of anava. Maybe that itself that he said that he's admitting did is a shkol anava itself. Yeah.
Maybe he didn't achieve it.
Maybe he didn't. Yeah. Could be. Gemara tells Rav Sa'urim Achua de Rava. Why do I keep saying that? Rav Sa'urim Achua de Rava. Have Yosef Tamei de Rava. Rav Sa'urim, Rava's brother, was sitting in front of Rava as Rava was on his deathbed. He saw that Rava was falling asleep, which is a nice way of saying that Rava was about to die. Amalei, Rava says to his brother, Rav Sa'urim, please tell the Malach HaMavis not to bother me, not to cause me pain. Amalei, Rav Sa'urim says, what are you talking about? Mar lav shashmehu, aren't you the Malach HaMavis' friend? We find, just like we find that when Moshe went up to get the Torah, that all the Malachim gave him presents, so many of the Chachamim were on good terms with the various Malachim, including, yes, the Malach HaMavis. So you ask him yourself. Amalei, Rava tells him, I can't. Kivin de imser mazla, once my mazel, meaning my neshama, has been handed over to him, lo yashkach, then he doesn't pay attention to me anymore. You know, I'll derech like you can have, you know, down here, you know, you might be buddy-buddy with some cop or whatever, but when he's arresting you, you know, then all that goes out the window. Yeah. Amalei, Sarav Sa'urim says, Lischazi limar, please appear to me after you pass away. I want to find out what it was like. Lischazile, sure enough, after Rava passed away, he appeared to Rav Sa'urim, in a dream, I guess. Amalei, and he asked him, Havalei lamar tzaira, did you feel any pain, Taka, when you died? Amalei tells him, Kirivda de kusilta, I felt like what you feel when they stick a needle in to draw your blood. Meaning like a minor, like a small thing. He felt it, but it was a minor amount of pain, which shows, in other words, when a normal person, it's tremendous pain for the neshama to be taken out of the body. A regular person, their neshama and their body are very intertwined, so it's very hard to separate them, as we'll learn in the Gemara tomorrow. But in Rava's case, his neshama wanted to go with the Maila, so it's just a minor pain that has to leave the body, that has to leave the avodah down here. A similar story, Rava Hava Yosef Kamei de Rav Nachman. Rava was sitting in front of Rav Nachman, his Rebbe. Chazi de Kama Namnim, same thing, he thought he was sleeping, you know, was about to die. Amalei says, Rav Nachman says, Tem Leim Alei Mar de Leil Tzaron, please ask the Malach HaMavis not to bother me, not to hurt me. Amalei, so Rava asked him, Mar lav Adam Chashuvu, isn't the Rebbe an important person? Maybe, I guess, Rav Nachman maybe wasn't on speaking terms with the Malach HaMavis, but at least you're a chashuva person. You should be able to, you should have the chashuva to ask him yourself.
He was dying. How could he be expected to ask the
Malach HaMavis? Same way as Rav Sa'urim in Next Generation expected Rava to. Obviously, he was still coherent. He's still talking with Rava. Amalei, so Rav Nachman tells him, there's no, like you said, ain't shilton miyem amavas, there's no chshivas at this time. Amalei, man choshiv, who's important, man sofin, who's precious, man rakia, who's great. There's a few different explanations of what sofin and rakia mean exactly, but basically he's saying, like when it comes to the Malach HaMavis, nobody has yichus. Nobody has yichus when it comes to him. Yeah. Amalei, so Rava asked him, Lischazi limar, please appear to me. Lischazi le, so he appeared to him after he passed away. Amalei, he asked him, Havalei lamar tzaira, did you have any pain from passing away? Amalei, he says, Kimishcha benisa mechelba. It was like pulling a hair out of a glass of milk. Which for Pashtus means even less than what Rava himself experienced in the Next Generation, yeah. However, Rav Nachman says, you should know something. The Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zilba Hu Alma Kad Havis. If the Eivishter were to have told me, you know what, go back down to this world the way you were, and you'll have a chance to live again. Loiba ina, I wouldn't want it. The nafish be associated, because the fear of the Malach HaMavis is so great. I wouldn't want to have another shot at it. Or I think Marshall says that actually, I forget it's Marshall or one of the other Mepharshim says that what Rav Nachman meant is the fear of actually going down into the world. You never know, you might not live up to what you're supposed to, is too great. We know when a neshama, usually most of the time when a neshama has to be sent back down in another yogal, it's a very hard thing for the neshama because you never know if you can actually make it or not.
Why should you say the fear of malach mavet? That could be in 1 second.
No, but even so, he's saying even though I felt so little, it's just like pulling a hair out of a glass of milk. Nevertheless, it was terrifying to have to befall see him. Even though the actual death itself was painful. Yeah. The actual death itself, he's saying, was painless. But the sea in the model, yeah. Yeah.
The rabbis were sitting in front of their rabbis, and they were many times in Amnon, and we were about to go. Is that considered a Misa Kup or something? Or they were already sick for a couple of
years? No, they were probably already sick for, I don't know. We don't know in these cases. Some of them maybe also many of them may have lived to over 80, right? We don't know. There's a couple of other places in the Gemara, by the way. This is as far as I know, this is the only place in the Gemara where it uses the word menamnim explicitly to mean about to die. But there's a few other places in Shas where it says about one of the Amoraim that his Talmidim were sitting in front of him b'havakam menamnim. We usually translate it as like he was drowsy, but I wonder if in some of those places it also means he's about to die and nevertheless he's still teaching his Talmidim. Anyway. No, they weren't delirious at the point.
No, these were not.
A few other stories of Amoraim and their passing. Rav Elazar have a ochel truma. Rav Elazar one time was eating truma. It's chazile, and the Malach HaMavet appeared to him. It's time for you to go. Amalei, so Rav Elazar tells him, truma ka'achilna. Right now I'm eating truma. Balav kodesh ikri. Isn't it called something which is kodesh? As a matter of fact, there's a mitzvah in the Torah. Banina satil chas mishmeres trumoise. You're not allowed to call truma to become tamei. He tells the Malach HaMavet, if you kill me now, the truma is going to become tamei that I'm eating. You shouldn't be doing that. So, chof le'shaita. So the time passed, and he got a reprieve. Another case, Rav Sheshet is chazil le'bishuk. Rav Sheshet one time saw the Malach HaMavet in the street. Yeah, Amalei said Rav Sheshet tells him b'shukah to behema. You want me to die in the street like a behema? Isol gavet beisa. Come into the house. I'm willing to pass away there, but not I'm in the street. Another one, Rav Ashi is chazil le'bishuk. Rav Ashi also saw the Malach HaMavet in the street. Amalei, so Rav Ashi tells him, itrachli tlos in yomin, please wait for me 30 days, v'ahadri l'talmidoi, so that I can review my learning. Dam ritu, because you say, up in Shemayim, we learned this in Pesachim, ashri mishabolakan v'talmudu biyadei, happy is a person who comes here to Gan Eden, who has his Gemara, who has his learning in his hand, meaning that he knows it well. So give me 30 days to do that. And actually, there's a Gemara in Bava Basra that mentions the first Mahadura and the second Mahadura of Rav Ashi. That in the first Mahadura, he said one thing, and the second Mahadura, he said something different. He said a different din. So the usual explanation Rashbam brings over there in Bava Basra from the Gaonim, that Rav Ashi went through teaching the whole Shas twice. Because he was a Rosh Hashiva for almost 60 years. It took 30 years because they would do two Masechtas every year. So going through 60 Masechtas took 30 years. He went through almost all the Masechtas twice. So therefore we have a Madura Kama and Madura Basra. Here, I think it's Rashi Ksaviad says a different thing. That we see the Madura Basra actually refers to these last 30 days when Rav Ashi is reviewing over in his mind everything that he had learned throughout his lifetime. During that time, he came across this particular din that it says there in Bava Basra, and he changed his mind about what the din should be. So we see that he accomplished quite a bit during those 30 days. B'yom Tzlosinah, so on the 30th day of the Malach HaMavet comes again, Amalei, so Rav Ashi tells him, what's the rush? My kol hai. 30 days, I told you. It's only the 30th day now. What's the hurry? The Malach HaMavet tells them, Kadachke ragli de Barnasan, because you're pushing away the feet of Barnasan. Who is Barnasan? The Reish Kabusa in those times was named Rahuna Barnasan. Now Rahuna Barnasan was unlike many of the Rosh Kabusa, was a great Talmud Chacham. He's one of the Amoraim, he's mentioned in many places in Shas. But he was the Reish Kabusa. But Rav Ashi outranked him in greatness. That's why we said a couple of days ago from the Gemara in Gittin that Rav Ashi had Toto Gdullah B'Makom Echad. He was the greatest Talmud Chacham of his generation, and he was also the greatest in Gdullah, in worldly leadership. In, yes.
Okay.
So therefore, so the Malach HaMavet is telling him basically, it's time for Huna Bar Nosan to be independent. It's time for him to be the Reish Galusa again to be on top of things. And as we said, one kingship doesn't touch the other one even a hair's breadth. Doesn't overlap the other one even a hair's breadth. It's time for you to go because it's time for him to be independent of you. Another one, Rav Chista lo hava yochel. Rav Chista, the Malach HaMavet, was not able to get him. Lo hava shasik po mevgirsa, because his mouth did not stop learning. We know similar stories we learned in Shabbos about David, in Bava Metzia there's a story about Rabbah like that. So solik yosef ba'ar the debate. So the Malach HaMavet went and sat on the main cedar post that held up the yeshiva building. Paka Arza, the cedar beam broke, the shasek, and Rav Chista stopped learning for a minute from the shock, or like to see what happened. And then the Malach HaMavet was able to get him. One more, Rav Chia, like have a matzil mikrovele. Rav Chia, the Malach HaMavet couldn't even get near to him. Yom Echad Idmi Lekanya. So one day the Malach HaMavet appeared to him like a poor person. Asa Tarif Abava, and he came knocking on the door. Amalei Apikli Rifka, yes, please bring me some bread. Apikulei, they brought him out. Now the Malach HaMavet tells him, "V'lav kamaracha mara anya." So we see you don't have rachmanas on poor people. Who gavra amai lo kamaracha mar? Why aren't you having rachmanas on me? I have a job to do, and you're not letting me do it. Galilei, so he revealed himself to him, and Rav Chista realized this isn't Sam and Bego, this is the Malach HaMavet. Achli lishuta denura, he showed him a branch of fire. Rashi says that means that was like his insignia of office. Like, you know, you have in the Goyish world they withdraw the angel of death holding a sickle. So here you know his here we're saying that his insignia of office is a fiery rod or something. That Marsha says that actually no. What he meant by showing him this is not Marsha. Yosef rather says this that on Ein Yaakov that the Malach HaMavet is telling him in effect I'm not able to do my job, so they're giving me pech with this kind of thing in up in Shemayim. So let me do my job, please. So in Tzolenafshe, instead of Chista made his soul available to him. Well, this is after he did the mitzvah, but yeah. I saw in the Art School Gemara, they had an interesting quote from one of the Balei Amusar of Chaim Shmulevitz that he says, I mean, what's the connection? Just because Rav Chia is willing to give bread to a poor person, therefore he should be willing to give away his life? He says, yeah, when Rav Chia gave tzedakah, he put his whole life into it. So therefore, the Malach HaMavet is arguing to him, if you're willing to give away your life every time you give bread, then yeah. Last Mishnah of the Masechta, Noshim Bamoyed, women during Chol HaMoed, Ma'anos, are allowed to do Inui, as we'll learn in the Mishnah what that means, Avalim Metapchos, but they cannot be Metapchos. The thing is like this, we learned in previous blot that by Lapaya you would have people who would give a spadim. Usually, that would be the men would give a spadim. The women would also join in the Levaya, but they didn't give speeches. Instead, they would cry out words short statements like to get people to cry and to mourn. The Gemara will give some examples of that. So there's different ways they could do it. So on Chol HaMoed, we'll allow them to do ma'anos, but not metapchos. Rabbi Shmuel Amar smuchos l'mita metapchos. The women who are close to the mita are allowed to do metapchos as well. Metapchos, we said the other day, actually metapchos means that they clap with their hands. Rosh Chodesh and Chanukah and Purim, ma'anos and metapchos, and Rosh Chodesh and Chanukah and Purim, those are less severe than Chol HaMoed because you're allowed to do work on those. Therefore, ma'anos and metapchos, they're allowed to do inui, and they're also allowed to clap their hands. V'zevaze lo'mekoninus, but on neither one, neither on Chol HaMoed, nor Chanukah, nor Rosh Chodesh or Purim, lo'mekoninus, they're not allowed to do kinus. This is all during the funeral. Once the mess is buried, then on any of these days, they're not allowed to do inui and they're not allowed to clap their hands. Now, we have to define what's inui and what's kina. Ezer inui, shekulan onus kachas. Inui, that we said to begin with, that women can do inui during Chol HaMoed, and they can do it on Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, and Purim, means sha'achas medaberes v'kulon onus achareah. It means one woman starts by saying something, and everybody else, all the other women, repeat it after her. Shenemar, we see that, because the pasuk says, "V'lamed na b'nisechem nehi." Oh, sorry, I skipped the line. Kina, ezu inu shkulon onus achas. Inu is where all of them say the same thing together in unison. Kino is Sha'achas Medaberes V'Kolon Ernest Achareha. Kino is one says it, and everybody else says after her. Shenema, as the pasuk says, "V'la Meidna B'nei Seichem Nehi." Your daughters. This is it's part of a nevuah about the Churban. We read it on Tisha B'Av morning as Achareha. You teach your daughters Nehi, so to cry out. The Isha Reusa Kina, and one woman should teach the other one Kina. So we see that a Kina involves one person saying something and the other responding, as opposed to therefore to Inui means everybody together.
That's the way they were.
Maybe that's originally they were made, that one person says it and everybody repeats after, like it could be. The Mishnah wants to finish off on a good note, though. We don't want to end off with Kina. Especially Tosfos points out there are orders of the Mishnah in which Moed Katan is actually the last Masechta of Seda Moed. In the Yerushalmi, it's that way. We don't have it that way. We have that Amman puts Moed Katan and then Chagiga. But there were Mishnayos where they had Moed Katan last, and therefore you want to end off the whole Seder with something good. Avala also love it, but in the future, in Mashiach times, it says, Bila Amavus LaNetzach, the Eshter will swallow, death will be swallowed up forever. Umacha Hashem Elokim Dima Me'al Kapanim, and Hashem will wipe off the tears from all faces. That's a whole different question. Is there going to be mitzvah by Goyim, Bechlal? I mean, we talk about the different stages in Yimayos Mashiach, and the first stage there may still be death, whatever. That's part of it, yeah. So, Gemara, my Amran, what are some examples of what the women say in these Inui or Kina? Amar Rav, so Rav says, for example, Vaila Ozla Vaila Chavila. For example, they would say, woe to the one who goes and one and woe to the one who goes and woe for the burden. What does that mean? Each of these things, this and the next few lines, there's a lot of different versions, a lot of different explanations on what each of them means. So my Rav Ranchburg quotes from it says that it means, woe to such a going, where you never come back from it until Mashiach comes, and woe to have to be carrying such a burden of a mess. That's the kind of thing you say as a kina. There's other explanations also that includes Vaila Ozla, woe to the neshama that goes away, Vaila Chavila, and woe to the body that's left over, like as a package over there. Omar Rav, Noshi Deshchansiv Amrin Hachi, the women of Shchansiv, is the name of a city in Babel, used to say that at funerals, Vaila Ozla, Vaila Chavila. This Shchansiv, by the way, the Gemara mentions in Psachim that there were many Leitzim over there. It says over there that Rebbe, I think, told his sons as part of his Sabah, don't ever live in Shchansiv because there are Leitzim over there and you're going to end up following them. So here we see we're quoting the women of Shchansiv in an approving way. So either some people say some of the Farshim want to say maybe the men were Litzanim but the women were wise and we can quote them, or some people say the Teretz Mima, for example, brings this in a couple of places, and some other people also say this, that no, they may have been Litzanim, but after all they also said good things. Kabbalah Emes, Mimi Sha'amara, you accept the truth from whoever said it. So yes, they had important messages to say by a Levaya. Sure, we should quote them. No, we're assuming that the because we're talking about a collective city. Apparently it was like that was the kind of thing to do over there. Okay. The Amar Rava, here's another one. Noshi Deshchansiv Amran, the women of Shchansiv say, Good Garma Mikocha, V'nimti Mayel Antichi. Again, there's many different explanations what this means exactly, but let's start with the printed Rashi. Good Garma Mikocha means the cheeks have fallen off of the teeth. And the water is going backwards to where to its source, which is a way of saying, according to that, it would just be a way of saying, like, you know, look at how the body is falling apart, kind of. Rabbi Nachmanel has an explanation that it means like when the person stops eating, good gama mikacha, when the bones are cut away from the teeth, meaning when the person stops eating, then the person's body heats up like an antichi, which is a samovar. There's many other different explanations. One interesting one that I saw is something like this: the leaders of the community are compared to teeth, because like they digest things in a way that the community can work with them. When they die unexpectedly, when they die not through any fault of their own, not like it was a rotted tooth that fell out, but rather it was like a healthy tooth, but the gums are no good. The gums are inflamed. It means the tzibur has the problem, and the leaders are dying because of the avidus of the tzibur. So therefore, you have to start heating up water like you would do to disinfect the area. In other words, you got to start doing some serious trouble. V'amar Rava, Nashi de Shchantiv Amar, and the women of Shchantiv say, Atoif v'kastu turi, mountains, cover and wrap yourself up, de bar Rami or bar Ravrivihu, because he was a son of exalted people and of great people. Which again, there's a lot of different explanations. Does it mean that they're calling on the mountains to like wrap themselves in mourning on behalf of this person, or if I can't like put on your nice suit in honor of this, so you're telling like the mountains, kaviyachol, put on your nice suits, put on your nice clothes in honor of this mess. Or there's another thing from the Sefer Nachlas Yaakov that I just the previous one was from a Sefer called Nachlas Yaakov from a Rav in Boston around 80 years ago that I found online. He says something for this one that it represents the idea that when you have the children, Rahman al-Aflan or Shkenim Gadakta are passing away, usually you would have the great people of the generation, the tzaddikim, are the ones who are being taken away for the avodas of the generation. If they're not, it means like cover yourselves in embarrassment. You're obviously not so great because the children are having to go because you're not of that caliber. The Amar Rav, Noshi de Shchantiv Amram, the women of Shchantiv say, Shaivil itzla de milsa levar chorin de shlimu zavde. Shaivil, Rashi says over here that Shaivil, Rashi Ksaviad actually says, means the goyle, means the covering of the orin. This shaivil is itzla de milsa, is like a silk garment. Lavar chorin the shlimu zavde for a free meaning rich person whose provisions are used up, which according to that it would be a way of saying, in other words, if you have here's a person who was rich his whole life, but now all of a sudden he's poor, like he can't even he used up all his provisions, he doesn't have anything left, so therefore at this point, you know, at this point kind of death becomes him, so to speak. You know, it's the best thing that could happen to him, so to speak, they're saying, and under the circumstances. Rabbeinu Hananel says something similarly as well. Another explanation is that shaivil is meloshen shor, like borrow. You have this bar chord and shlimur zavde. You have this rich person who used up all his stuff, and now he's reduced to the point where now we have to borrow in order to pay for tachrisim for him. This was meant like to be ma'orer people to realize what a tragedy we've suffered. V'amar Rava, Noshi de Shchantiv Amran, Rohit v'nofal ma'abra. Somebody is running and falls on the ferry. V'yazuf to yazif, and he still had to borrow money. One meaning of it is he's running as fast as possible, but he fell among those who are poor, and now he's similar to the previous one, he's reduced to having to borrow money. Like his whole life he was running around to get parnasa, and now look what a situation he's in, that we have to borrow money for the funeral expenses. There was an interesting one in this Nachlas Yaakov, something along the lines of, he says, imagine a person on a ferry who starts running around, like figuring he'll get to his destination faster that way. Obviously not. You're going to get there however, whenever the ferry comes, you're going to come there. So like, and all you end up doing is wearing yourself out and falling down. So don't do that. Realize you're going to have to pay back whatever you borrowed for the ferry trip, meaning you're going to have to pay back the Eivishter at the end. Realize that the Eivishter runs the world, not you, basically. V'amar Rava, Noshi de Shchantiv Amran, the women of Shchantiv say, Achon of Tagri, our brothers the merchants, Azabzagi Mivdiku. You will be checked out at your store. You'll be checked out where your goods are. Meaning, in other words, basically, you know, at the end of your life, we're gonna see what kind of, you know, we're gonna see at the end how, you know, what the person accomplished in his lifetime.
Wait, that is before he passed away.
So that's this particular one actually, this particular one, Marav Ransburg says on the bottom over here that it means that you can at the end you can see how much wealth they had. For example, here you have a person who's so poor that you can't afford to bury him, but we can really see by how people respond to the appeal how rich he was, like, you know, how much people care for him. Something like that. V'amar Rava, Nashi de Shchantiv Amran, Moisa ki Moisa. Every death is just like every other death. Umarin chibulaya. But the sicknesses are the interest, which means, in other words, so one meaning, in other words, is you have everybody ultimately dies, but some people have more yesurim than others. So, like, some people, everybody ends up paying the Eivishter back in the same way, so to speak, but some people also have to end up paying quite a bit of extra interest. Or another explanation, the printed Rashi over here has sort of hand by bias, that sometimes you have a person where everybody dies, and you don't know, one person had much more yesurim than the other one, but it was well hidden. So you don't know, in any case, how much the person actually went through. No, yesurim, maybe it should be yesurim, yeah. Hand by bias, yeah, or hand royim, or hand... And yeah. And ribis maybe, yeah. A lot of different gift sizes over there. Tanya, how you're a mayor, there's a pasuk in Kehelas that goes Tovla Lakas al base of the Gomer. It's better to go to a house, to a Shiva house, rather than to go to a party. And it continues, Adva Chayit in a Libai, that a living person should take to heart. What does this mean? Dvarim shel misa, that a person should keep in mind things about death, about burial. For example, the yisted yisbedune, somebody who does a hesped for somebody else, other people will do a hesped for him when he dies. The yikbar, somebody who involves himself with burying other people, yikbarune, then other people will bury him. The yitan, somebody who carries the mitzah, yitanune, people will carry him. The yedal yidlune, somebody who lifts up his voice to cry for others, others will do the same for him. The Ikadamri, or others say, on the contrary, the Lo Yedol Yedlune, somebody who does not lift himself up, somebody who doesn't make himself so high up and is willing to lower himself to be involved with the Kvura, Adrabi Yedlune, other people will raise him up. They'll realize how great he was after all. It says, they said it's good for you, come up over here. They say you're good, and you come up over here when you yourself didn't put yourself up there to begin with. When Rabbi Shmuel's children passed away, apparently two or more of them passed away at the same time, four Talmud Chachamim went into be Menachem Avol. Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Yitzchak Aglili, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva. Amar lahem Rabbi Tarfon, so Rabbi Tarfon says to the other Chachamim, D'u shechacham gadol hu, you should know that Rabbi Shmuel is a great Talmud Chacham, and he's an expert in Agata. Therefore, one of you should not go into the other person's words. Which means, what does that mean? Rashi Ktavyad says means each of you should be saying a different word. Don't two of you repeat the same thing. Not necessarily. You might think, maybe I have a different way of explaining the same pasuk or something. Marsha says it means don't one of you interrupt the other, because then you're going to get into a discussion. And Rabbi Shmuel is going to want to join into the discussion because he's a Talmud Chacham, and he's a novel. He's not allowed to join in discussions of Torah.
He's allowed to hear it,
but he's not allowed to join in. Well, that's also true, but yeah. Okay. So Rabbi Akiva says, okay, I'll go last. Either he did it as a matter of anivus, like I even though he was older than many of these other Chachamim, but I'm willing to go last. Or he meant, I'll be able to find something original even after everybody else, so I'm willing to go last. Pasuk Rabbi Shmuel v'Amar, so Rabbi Shmuel started, because as the Gemara is going to say further down on the Amud, we'll have tomorrow, Bez Hashem, that the Avol is the one who has to start speaking first. So Rabbi Shmuel started out by saying, Ravu Avay Noisav, his Averus, meaning himself, must be very many, Takfu Avelov, that his Avelus came one after the other. That he's mourning two sons, one after the other. Hitriach, Rabbeisa, Pamishanu Shnia. Now he, meaning myself, and being Matriach, my Rabbeim, twice, one time and two times, to come be Menachem Avol. He's like he's saying on himself, you know, look where I stand.
Were they his Rebbe?
What?
Who was the Rebbe?
No, but Pashtus there. I think they were all Chaverim of his. But even so, he calls them his Rebbes out of respect. Nana Rab Tarfon Vama, so Rab Tarfon started by saying, the Pasuk says, Vachechem by Nodav and Aviyu, Vachechem Kabbais Yisrael Yivkuas Asrefa, that your brothers, the whole family, the whole household of Israel, should cry for the burning, for the flame that Hashem killed Nodav and Aviyu. So we have to think, Valo Dvarim Kavachomer. We can make a Kavachomer over here. Uma Nodav Aviyu Shalai Osir Ala Mitzvah Achas, Nodav and Aviyu only did one mitzvah, Dichtiv Vayakruv Bnei Aaron as Adam Elov, Kach, and nevertheless, they have this chus that the whole Jewish people gave them a hesped and cried for them. Bonav shor Rabbi Shmuel, achas kama kama. How much more so Rabbi Shmuel's children, who did many mitzvahs? Now, what do you mean they only did one mitzvah? They were great tzaddikim. Moshe says to Aaron, they're greater than you and me.
I don't know you.
Yeah. So one explanation is that it means they did one mitzvah on the day. There's one particular mitzvah that we know they did on the day they died. So this way, Akruv ben Aaron has done is on the eighth day of the Miluim. And the other explanation is that it means they did. This is the one mitzvah that we know that they did on behalf of the whole Klal Yisrael, and therefore they did, as opposed to all the other mitzvahs they did with Pashas, with private people, and in that chus they had the whole Jewish people mourn for them. Nana Rabbi Yitzchak really Ramer. Here's another pasuk. Rabbi Yitzchak really says the pasuk says about Yeravam's son Aviah. Well, Yeravam we know had put up the Egle Azav. He did all kinds of other avedas, but his son Aviah was sick. He sends his wife disguised to Achi Ashiloni to ask for a bracha. Achi Ashiloni recognizes her, b'nevua, tells her that tells her a very harsh nevua of what's going to happen to Yeravam's family. But he says you should know the boy is going to die, but you should know Sofka like Kol Yisrael, all the Jews will mourn for him. The Kavruah, he's saying, they will bury him. The Valoy Dvorim Kavachomer. Uma Aviyah ben Yeravam shall I offer the Dover Achatayv. Now, Aviyah ben Yeravam only did one good thing. And again, either it means he did one good thing right before he died, or it means he did one good thing on behalf of Yisrael. What is that? Tichtibe Yan Nimtza by Dover Tov. The passage continues over there because there was found in him a good thing, Kach, and he got such covered from the Jewish people. Bonav Rabbi Shmuel, Achas Kam Vakam. So how much more so? The children of Rabbi Shmuel deserve that kind of covered.
What good thing did he do?
What good do? My Dovatov. Rabbi Zeira and Rabbi Chinna bar Papa. They had Rabbi Zeira and Rabbi Chinna bar Papa argued about it. Chad Omer Shabitul Mishmar Tov Allah. One says that he abandoned his guard post and went up, which means we learned in Tainis that the Yeravam set up guard posts to prevent people from being over the Negel because he didn't want people to see Rechavam sitting down on the Mishmar, etc. With all the story over there. So, but Aviah was one of these guards, but he abandoned his position in order to be Ola L'Regel. That was the good thing. Or a different explanation is also that it means Shabbat L'Mishmauta means he abandoned his father what his father told him to do. This whole thing that his father wants to shore up his kingship and all, Aviah canceled that. Like
he went against it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
in this case, with the father, yeah. The other one said that he actually was mevatel these guard posts that his father had put up to prevent people from going to the regal. So one is that he did it himself. The other is that he was mevatel the whole thing. Whatever it is, either way, that was his one schus, and we see the whole Jewish people honored him for it. Yeah. Nana Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah v'Amar. There's a pasuk that the Navi Yirmiyah says to King Tzidkiyahu, the last king of Malchus Yehuda. He says, "B'shalom Tomus, you will die in peace." Just like the burnings that they did for your father's the previous kings that were before you. In those days, they used to, when a king died, they'd make a ceremonial thing. They'd burn his bed and all the other personal items that he used, like as if to show like there's nobody else in the world who's worthy enough of using these things. That was an honorable thing they did in honor of a king. So they'll do that kind of thing for you also. Can you so also they'll make a burning like that for you? So again, Valoy Dvorim Kavachomer, we can make a Kavachomer. Uma Tzidkiyo Melech Yehuda Shalei Asa La Mitzvah Achas. Tzidkiyo Melech Yehuda only did one mitzvah. Shehele Yumiya Menatis, that he got Yumiya out of the mud. Plus it describes over there how Yumiyo's enemies, who hated him for always saying nevuos about the Churban and the Golos and everything, they threw him into a mud pit and he almost suffocated over there until Tzidkiyo sent somebody to schlep him out of there. So he did that mitzvah. And again, Tosfos points out, Tzidkiyo was a tzaddik bummer. But this is the one mitzvah that we find actually said about him in the Pasuk. The Pasuk actually speaks of Tzidkiyo in several places as a Rasha. Really, he was a tzaddik, but we say he was a Rasha because he didn't give Tosfos to the people that he was supposed to. He could have prevented them from doing Averus, and he didn't. That's what we're saying. He was a tzaddik bummer. But when we say he did one mitzvah, we mean this is the one mitzvah that's recorded about him. That he got Yumiyo out of the mud.
Because he didn't warn the people, so we don't record the other mitzvahs?
Maybe, just like with not every Aviyah, or the Torah is not giving a biography of them, or whatever, yeah. So is it Kach, and yet he got such honor. Bonav Shel Rabbi Shmuel, Achas Kama V'Kama. How much more so the children of Rabbi Shmuel deserve that kind of carbon?
Because they did many mitzvahs.
We'll have to stop here so we can catch Ma'ariv, but the Gemara will explain tomorrow. B'chol, I mean, Tzidkiyahu went into Golos and he was blinded, he was put in jail. What do we mean, B'shalom Tomus? In what way did he die in peace? So the Gemara will talk about that tomorrow.